Welcome to From Caving In to Crushing It, the podcast for those who find themselves immersed in adversity and choose to write their story instead of having others write it for them. I'm Drew Duraney, and I'm your host. Today's guest is Trunis Goggins. Trunis Goggins is an educator, author, consultant for both small business and higher rated institutions. Dr. Goggins, born and raised in Buffalo, New York, and veteran of the United States Navy. Dr. Goggins currently lives in Asheville, North Carolina, with his wife and eldest grandson. Trunis is the father of 5 sons and 4 daughters, 1 deceased. Trunis is also the proud grandfather of 2 other grandsons that live in Indianapolis, Indiana. Key accomplishments. Trunis Goggins is a decorated Navy veteran, earning 5 Navy and Marine Corps Achievement Medals for his legal and recruiting work. Trunis is a member of the several organizations, including the Network of Schools of Public Policy, Affairs, and Administration, NASPAA, an organization in which he received honors as a distinguished graduate in 2016. National Society of Leadership and Success, NSLS, earning Educator of the Year in 2017. Down Syndrome Indiana and SCORE of Asheville, North Carolina. Trunis has consulted numerous small businesses throughout the United States in startup and strategic planning. Trunis has also provided consultation and training for higher education institutions in areas of business program accreditation, online course implementation, and self-directed learning techniques. Professional background. In addition to serving in the military and business and higher education consulting, Dr. Goggins has over 16 years of higher education experience. He has served as a professor, department chair in the College of Business at Harrison College and Ivy Tech Community College. He served as director of workforce development of Ivy Tech Community College, Columbus, Indiana. Trunis is currently a lead instructor in the College of Business at Western Governors University. Enjoy the show. Here we go, Trunis Goggins. It's a pleasure to see you, my friend.
Nice to see you as well.
Man, so, all right, I always like to thank the person who introduced us, and I believe it was Hannah LaRue, correct?
Yes, it absolutely was. She's a phenomenal individual.
Unbelievable human being. So, Hannah, thank you for introducing us. This has been more than I expected. So, Trunis, I wanted to have you on a variety of reasons. I respect what you've gone through in life. I admire who you've become. And, you know, when I look at the criteria for me wanting to have somebody on this show, you know, I often talk about how there's 3 different types of men. And I often talk about how we're taught life is linear and it's not. And I talk about defining moments. So with the 3 men, you know, there's that one man who, no matter what's in front of him, he never sees it as an opportunity to improve his life. He sees it as nothing. He doesn't see it. He goes through life, you know, sleepwalking. Then there's the other type of man who he sees this adversity, but he believes life's doing something to him and he's the victim. And then there's this third man who you are. To help you become a better person, and life is doing something for you. And I believe you're that man number 3.
Thank you.
It's absolutely my pleasure to be able to acknowledge you. And if you could reach back as far as you can and grab that defining moment, whether it's the tap on the shoulder or the 2x4 upside the head, that basically you said, hey, Trunis, I see something here. This is an opportunity to become a stronger man. I'm going to take it on. Mm-hmm. You share that?
Yeah. My opportunity happened on Christmas Eve, 19, long time ago, 19, the other century.
Wow.
95.
Okay.
My son was born that day, and that was the first kid I ever had. Before that, I just lived life by the seat of my pants. I really had no... You know what? If I ate the next day, I'm good to go. If I didn't, whatever. And then my son's born and he's in my arms for the first time. And it's funny because it's like, dude, this person is relying on you to eat. Mm-hmm. This person is relying on you for shelter. Don't jack up. And I thought about, and I didn't. I thought about my dad, and I thought about my mom, and both of those individuals, they did a great job in making sure that I ate, and I had a great, I had a, I lived in a beautiful, beautiful home in Williamsville, New York, a suburb of Buffalo. Went to great schools. I lived a good life, and it was because of their sacrifice. And I would do not only my parents a disservice, but I would do my children a disservice if they didn't get at least what I had or better. And I knew at that point that at the rate I was going then, there's no way in hell that was going to happen.
Absolutely.
And it was that, all right, let's buckle down.
I grow up now, right? Grow up now. So, baby's born healthy, and you're holding him in your arms. And what did you do to change? I know you had the mindset, I got to do something differently. Do you recall what maybe one of the first time to grow up things you did to really get you on that path to be who you are now?
So first of all, I want to say I'm not an artist, but I did have to paint a picture. I had to paint a picture of what a successful person is, And it just didn't, I didn't paint that picture in 1995. I started painting that picture in 1995. That picture didn't come to fruition until years of experience. Sometimes if you're looking at your board, you may realize that you don't have enough paint to finish the job. So you have to go out and get new paint, or you might have the wrong canvas, or you might have mixed the wrong colors and this, that, and the other. But what you have to do is you have to start painting the picture of what that man or what that man looks like. In my case, it's man. And so that's what I had to do. And I had to start picturing. So I had to look, it wasn't like, where are you going to be in 5 years? It's like, what does that guy look like? And that guy looked like my father. That guy looked like my grandfather. That guy looked like a bunch of people that I met along the way. And what I had to do was I had to paint that picture of what I wanted to look like.
So you mentioned the word success, Trunis. What is your definition of success now versus what your definition of success was before you held your son in your arms?
Success before I held my son in my arms was paying the rent.
Okay.
Seriously, it was so basic. It was horrible. Success now means so much different. Success is not just money. Success is not just toys, because you know what? You're not gonna, I'm middle aged now. I'm clearly on the back nine. I don't play golf, by the way, but I am on the back nine of life. But success now is looking at what you're leaving behind. Is the world better off today because you're in it than not? And I just last week, my daughter came in from Indianapolis, Indiana, and when she came in, I watched her with her two kids, and I'm like, she is doing a really, really good job. And I said, she's doing a great job with her kids, and I'm sitting there looking at it, and I'm like, she's doing better than what I did, but what I know that I contribute to that. She told me
Course
that,
you
right?
did. Yeah.
So it's like I'm leaving this behind. So what I did, not only do I look at the generation after me, I'm looking at a generation that's going to be my age, right? And I'm gone. I'm not here anymore. Well, I might be. That would be nice if I was.
Yeah, I'm going to
But I
push
mean,
back a little. I'm going to say you're on your middle nine,
I'm at
because
my, okay.
you and I are about the same age. We're on our middle nine,
All
Trunis.
right, good. Then
There
we're
we
playing 27 holes.
go.
There you go. There you go.
Middle nine.
But all right, middle nine. But like I said, I'm looking at it, and that's what I'm leaving behind. And that's a great feeling.
So, I mean, absolutely. I mean, when we see how our children are, and you have to be able to know and be proud that you did have something to do with that. And you said your daughter said it, which was, it's beautiful to hear that, huh?
Absolutely. It sure is.
So as your kids started growing up, and you wanted to change your life, what else did you start to do to get yourself to buckle down?
All right. I was in the United States Navy, and this is actually in my book. And this was a very changing moment for me professionally. I was a recruiter. I was getting a reward, award after award after award for recruiting. And I was, I was recruiter of the month, recruiter of the year. I was all these other things. And there was a chief. His name was Buck Camfield, and he's in my book. And chief comes up to me. He was the zone supervisor. And he goes, Goggins, I'm about ready to retire in a year, and I'm getting a job working for Homeland Security. I'm like, that's awesome, Chief. That's great. He goes, Goggins, I said, I'm going to tell you right now, you are probably one of the best recruiters I've ever seen in my career. And I'm like, well, thanks a lot, Chief. He goes, if your resume was put in front of me right now, I would not hire you. I was like, what? And I said, Chief, why'd you say that? He goes, you have an opportunity to get a free college education, and you have not gotten it yet. So if you are willing to give up something that valuable, why do I want you working for me?
Interesting.
That man, that conversation pissed me off. Okay? It pissed me off to the point. Now, I was in Indianapolis and Indiana at the time, and my recruiting station was literally right across the river from Marion College, which is now Marion University. Great. It's a Catholic college in Indianapolis. The very next day, Drew,
You did. Oh, I love it.
I enrolled, and the thing is not only I enrolled there, they had a non-traditional course for adults, right? I took the non-traditional path, which, at 33 years old, you're going to do that. I did not stop. When it was time for me to get, and at that point, I was like in the groove. I was still angry. That was the fuel, right? But I was
You
like, all
still doing
right,
the recruiting job too while you went to school?
I was recruiting, going to
Doing
school,
both. Wow.
and raising a
And
family.
raising the family. God
So
bless.
what I did was I started working. I mean, I started going to school. I went. When my bachelor's degree came to me, they said, well, we're getting ready for graduation. I said, I'm not graduating. I'm graduating. I'm going to come to the registrar's office. I'm going to pick up my diploma, but I literally picked up my diploma, went to Anderson University because Marion at the time did not have a master's program, went to Anderson University. So the day that I got the diploma,
My
I
gosh.
literally got in the car, drove to Anderson. Applied, was accepted into Anderson University, got that degree. Because it was my master's, my mom said, you're gonna have to go to the graduation. So I did, whatever. I didn't feel like it because my number one goal was for this chief. And it wasn't really for the chief,
It
it
was
was
for
for me.
you,
It
yeah.
was for me. And I said, for this chief, I'm going to get my doctorate. And I remember,
I
so here it
love
is.
it.
So we had a conversation in 2004, right? In 2016, it was March of 2016. Actually, it was actually 2015. It was December of 2015. I
I
defended my
love it.
dissertation. I defended my dissertation successfully. And my wife at the time, my kids at the time were all in another room. Okay, so I'm defending my dissertation. I'm coming into another room. So before I left that room, I'll never forget, Dr. Riebel was her name. She's still a great friend of mine. She says, congratulations, Dr. Goggins, you've defended your dissertation. I was like, thank you very much. She walks out of the room. The first thing I do is I grab my cell phone. My
Is next
family
door. The
are
hug
right in
right
the next
next
room,
door. Oh my God.
right? At this point, you want to run and give your kids a hug and all that other stuff. I picked up my phone,
I love
picked up
it.
my phone, and I said, is this Buck Canfield? Yes, it is. I said, I'm a doctor.
I love it.
And I will say this right now, that man is the epitome. I was talking earlier about painting a picture. It was that man. Today I'm writing books. Today I'm doing all this other stuff.
Oh
And
my
I
God.
told him this, it was that one sentence. If your resume was in front of me, I would not hire you. That sentence catapulted and started a movement that is now, where it is today.
Oh my gosh. Now he's still with us now.
Yes, he is.
And what's beautiful is you had the opportunity and you took action to let him know how important he and what he said was to you. A lot of us don't tell the person that when they're alive. We go tell them that when they're in the coffin. Doesn't that suck? You know, you're at the, you know, and it's wondering, you got to tell these people when they're here. And you did that. What was his reaction?
You know, his reaction was like Bravo Zulu. That's what Chief said. You know, and I will say this,
I
the
love it.
and I when my book came out, obviously he's in the book. I
Yeah.
made sure that he got a copy. I mailed it to him and I said, "You know what? I wouldn't be where I am today if it wasn't for you." He said, "No." He goes, "I may have helped." He goes, "But it's because of you and your motivation."
Yeah.
And the thing is you're right. What you said about telling people, it is nice to tell people
Yeah.
While they're on the earth what they've done to change their life, because a lot of people leave this earth not knowing
No. We don't
what they've
know.
done.
Yeah.
And you know, and I'll tell you this, and sometimes if you tell somebody, you know, what they've done for you, it actually encourages them to do the same thing or
Yes.
even more for others.
Absolutely.
And
Yeah.
all you're doing is making the world a better place.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Trunis. So you've made reference to this awesome book, and I would like you to tell us a little about what got you to start writing a book and why this topic?
The book is called The Four P's of You, and the P's, I'm a business professor, and there's the four P's of marketing. You can see it anywhere. I don't have to go into that, but the four P's of you are passion, or sorry, purpose, planning, passion, and persistence. And that's
Okay.
what you need. Those are the four. That's your foundation. If you have a purpose, you know, that's great. Once you have that purpose or that mission statement, so to speak, then you can do the other things, and it has to be yours. The reason why I wrote this book is because I teach inmates. And I was teaching a group of inmates one time, and I said, "Hey, what do you want to do when you get out of prison?" Now, these guys are like, seriously, there's anywhere from 30 days to 6 months until they get out of prison. They
Right.
have their release date, they're ready to go. Man, they're sitting there talking about, "I'm going to go to Chick-fil-A, I'm going to do this, I'm going to go,
Yeah, right.
I'm going to meet one of the guys in this particular class where I got started," said, "I'm going to meet my daughter." He was in prison for 5 years. His
Oh my
daughter
God.
was His daughter was 4 years old and some change. And he
Oh.
goes, I'm going to be able to hold my daughter for the first time."
Oh my God.
Almost brought a tear to my eye. So I said, "Okay, great. You're going to do that your first day when you get out. Congratulations. What do you want to do?"
Yeah.
And they were quiet.
Yeah.
They were dead silent. I
Yeah.
said, "So you've had 2 years, 5 years in some cases, to think about what you were going to do the day you got out, and all you're going to say is you can go to Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
What about this? What about that? Well, I guess I'm going to have to get a job. I guess I'm going to do that." I said, "You know," I said, "if you do not have a purpose, if you do not have a plan, you're going to still be in prison."
Yeah.
And they were just like, "Wow." And so I leave that class session. I'm going back to the hotel, and I'm like, "You know, there are a lot of us. If I ask 11 inmates what they're going to do after they get out of prison, right? But you know what? I'm going to tell you, Drew, I bet you $1 to a donut. If I walk down the streets of Asheville, North Carolina, where I live, and I just walk up to a regular individual right now, like just a normal individual, and say, "Hey, what do you want?" I can guarantee you, I'll probably get the same response that I got in prison.
I agree with you 100%. We put ourselves
That,
in our own
yeah,
prison. Yeah, that's
we
true.
do, because we don't know what we want.
No.
Sometimes we believe we deserve something that we don't
Yeah.
deserve, or we deserve more than what
Yeah.
we think we deserve.
Right.
We don't do that. So the thing is to consciously think, you know, when we die, we're all going to have some regret somewhere down the line. But at least try to commandeer and guide your life in a way to where it has purpose, where you have a plan, where you have passion. Whatever you do in life, you know, if you're happy, like for example, I love teaching, I love doing what I do now. I love writing books, I love going to book fairs, I love speaking engagements and stuff like that. You know what? I do need the money, so but you know what? Sometimes I enjoy it so much that when I get the money, that's the last thing. It's like I'm
Last
stealing
thing.
your it's like I'm stealing your money. It really is. It's
Yep.
like, you know what? I would do this for free. I'm not
Love
going
it.
to tell you that. My contracts don't
No.
say that.
Yeah.
But I mean,
Yeah.
but seriously, and that's what I mean by the passion. So you love going to There are a lot of people out here that have beautiful jobs, that have great jobs.
Yeah.
They have great careers. They're at home, they have a family, that they're living in a house, they're driving the car that everybody else wants them to drive, or they think they look good in, and they're miserable.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that is because that is one of the reasons behind the book.
No, I love it. And it's so true. Without the purpose, it's challenging to find that passion, right? So it's purpose, passion, not in that order, but
It's purpose, planning, passion, and persistence.
purpose. That's right, too. You have the purpose and then you're able to plan because you have the purpose and then the path.
Correct.
Okay, I get it. No, that's
There you go.
beautiful. That's beautiful. It's beautiful. So to, and you're, I didn't realize you were teaching inmates. What a wonderful opportunity for the inmates, because you know, a lot of us who don't know much about support systems for the prison inmates, I didn't know that education for the inmates was a thing. That's beautiful that there is.
Yes, it is. It's a great program that they have. The reason why I started teaching inmates, I
Yeah.
never thought about it before. All
Yeah.
right. I thought, okay, you made a mistake, go get locked up, come back out, don't do it
Yeah.
again. Unfortunately, being an inmate is not just affect the person who is locked up. It affects so many people.
Yeah.
And you can actually pull this up online. And I hope, I'm not doing anything as far as revealing too much information, but I know you can pull up the news story online. My daughter was murdered back in 2015.
Jeez.
And when she was murdered in 2015, the prime suspect, the person that they picked up, he was a 14-year-old kid.
My God.
Okay. Now, the 14-year-old kid, who they picked up at first, and again, there's a long story behind that part too. My daughter died on the 19th of June, but on the 12th of June, that same year, just 7 days before, I'm sorry, the 10th of June, 9 days before my daughter was murdered, this boy's father was sentenced to 99 years in prison.
Oh my goodness.
All right, so you have a guy, you have a kid. He's an adult now, who, if that father was out of, if that father was doing something, he was doing something responsible, he was doing something that he was supposed to do, and raising his kid and giving his kid hope, that wouldn't have happened. So
Yeah.
I can't bring my daughter back, but I do
Right.
know if I go into these prisons right now and I talk to these inmates, and I tell them that their mistake has caused a chain reaction, and that we're going to stop this chain reaction right now.
Yep.
Okay, and I can help do that. I can save a mother, a father, brother, or sister from going through the same pain that my family goes through.
You
And
know,
that's why I do
oh.
it.
Trinus, not many men would do what you're doing. You had so many other reactions you could have done. You're turning it around and you are helping other families so they don't have to go through what you went through. You know,
So let's just
wow.
hope that that works. And so again, like I said, the book comes from that. I could say that my daughter inspired the book,
Yeah.
but it is imperative that the cycle has to stop. It really does.
Yeah.
But going back to like the book in general,
Yeah.
and even what I'm doing right now, and for people listening, you have to have a purpose, and that purpose has to be yours.
Yeah.
Don't, it has to be your purpose
Yes,
because,
absolutely. Yeah, too many of us allow others to tell us what our purpose is, right? Oh, I'm supposed to live my life
Absolutely.
that way. Okay, fine. That's my purpose. And now the purpose comes from within. And sometimes it doesn't just come to us. We have to sit with ourselves. How often do we get a chance to sit with ourselves and really think or talk to God and say, what am I meant for here? We
Absolutely.
don't, we need to carve out time to do it, Jonas.
You're right.
So, anything else you want to tell the audience that you're
No.
working on? What else? Do you have another book in your life, in your head?
Yes.
All right.
Actually, I have another book. It's going to be out in September, and
There
it
we
is a
go.
follow-up. It's a follow-up to the 4 P's of You, and it's actually
Okay.
the working title right now is You Meant to Be That, Living Your Life Intentionally and with Purpose.
Whoa.
And it is a follow-up.
I love it. It's like the implementation part.
That's right.
I
That's right.
love that. And then you can turn it into a course and we can have a workbook and
There you
do it
go.
all. Do it all, man. Do it
Give me
all.
all these ideas. I love that. Yes, absolutely.
I love it. I love it. Well, I'll tell you, I could talk to you all day. The audience certainly has grasped the essence of Trunis Goggins, and they're going to want to get in touch with you. So, audience, you got to go to to Trunis's website and get in touch with him. Website's the four with that's the number four P's of you. The four P's of you, and I'm going to have that in the show notes as well. And go and pick up a copy of the book. Because if you haven't found your purpose now and you're searching from within and you can't find it, his book's going to jog your brain a little to get you to think differently and come up with your purpose. And then you can go about and do the planning and with the passion. What's the fourth P? I forgot the fourth
Fourth
P.
P, persistence.
Persistence. Keep going. Don't never give up. That's it.
That's
That's
right.
it. All right. So I have two final questions for you. You ready for these?
I am.
All right. So, Trunis, you have the opportunity to sit down with 7 to 10-year-old Trunis and give him advice about life. What are you going to tell him?
First thing I'm going to do is tell him to stop eating lemon heads.
Lemonheads.
As 7-year-old kid, you know what? The worst thing about it, 53-year-old Truna still eats lemon heads. So, but I ate way too many lemon heads growing up, that's for sure. But
Love it.
one thing I would tell them is like yourself. Don't worry about who likes you.
Yeah.
You know, 7 to 10 years old, that was an awkward time for me. It's an awkward time for a lot of kids that age, you know, because they're just now you know, socially getting into stuff. And like I said, it was a very awkward time for me. So I would tell him to, you know, like yourself. And if you like yourself, if you like yourself, the people who like you will come to you. You'll attract those
Absolutely.
people. But if you don't like yourself, the people who don't like you will be attracted. So,
Absolutely. That's great
yeah.
advice. All right. So put another hat on, different hat. Now you're sitting down with young Trunis, the young businessman, entrepreneur, and you want to give him advice about business. What are you going to tell? Is he allowed to eat lemon heads?
He is. He's got
Okay.
to. I mean, he's got to
Perfect.
have
Okay.
them,
All
but
right. So
that's okay.
that's a good thing. So what other advice would you give that young Trunis?
Make sure you're doing what you are skilled to do. Don't do things because other people want you to do it. And if you start doing that, you're going to get out of you're not going to do what you know what you're good at. You know, a lot of companies, a lot of businesses, they will start doing what other people do, and they don't do it well, and it becomes a joke. I mean, we and you are both around that same age, you know, the middle nine. All right, I'll start using that from now on.
I love it.
But remember New Coke. New Coke back in the 80s, they came out with New Coke, and because New Coke was a little sweeter, it tastes a little bit more like Pepsi. Right? Or they thought it was going to taste a little bit more like Pepsi. The people who they impressed and brought in did not like Pepsi. So why did you do that? You're doing something that someone else is doing. Do something that you're good at, you know, and stick to it. But when I was a younger guy, I started businesses before and they failed miserably because I was doing things that everybody else was doing.
That's
You
true.
know, and so I would go back and tell, you know, what are you good at doing and stick to that and do it well, do it better than anybody. That's your competitive advantage.
See, I love that because if we would know what our strength is and have passion for it and we learn how to monetize it, then we're really not working a day in our life. Kind of like you with what you're doing now. I love it.
Absolutely.
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 Good for you. Well, Trunis, I want to thank you for coming on. I want to thank you for being who you are. I want to thank you for coming into my life, my friend. I'm very grateful.
Same here.
It's special because I feel like I've known you for a long time and you're just doing some wonderful things. Keep doing what you're doing. You're helping so many people.
Thank you so much.
All right. Hey, take care, everybody. Be well. Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed the episode, please subscribe and give us a review to help others find it. I'd like you to answer this question. Are you living the life you want to live, or are you living the life others want you to live? I'd like you to think about that for a second, because I strongly suggest you live the life you want to live. If you want to learn more about what I stand for and my services and how I'm able to help many men get out of their own way, please go to my website at www.profitcompassion.com. Feel free to also email me at drew@profitcompassion.com. I'd love to have a conversation with you. Take care of yourself and choose to write your own story instead of letting others write it for you.